What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Eagles, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, Lou DiBiase on this Sunday edition of the show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. And we are recapping the Eagles' 25-22 win at Lincoln Financial Field against the New York Giants. Jake Elliott with a game-winning field goal with a couple minutes, or with, no, not even a couple minutes ago, with about 25 seconds left. The Eagles' defense holds. They improved to 5-6. Gino, first time in a long time that me and you can do a post-game show discussing an Eagles win, and it feels damn good. Even though it was against the Giants, an inferior opponent that they should have beaten by more, the situation they were in with injuries and the way they pulled us out, it feels damn fantastic.
Yeah, at first I was a little down. It was just like every other Eagles game we've seen this year, starting slow. Really nothing came easy to either side of the football. But then in the second half, like a good football team should do, they put on their big boy pants, they put on their work boots and said, all right, we can't keep screwing around. This is our season. Our season is on the line right now. And both sides of the ball really stepped up in the end. I mean, when you're getting plays like Cravon LeBlanc made on Odell Beckham at the end of the game and Carson Wentz taking that team and making that big fourth down throw, it's exactly what you need to win. And the Giants took a book out of Philadelphia's playbook and took a play that by that matter and figured out how to lose a game when they were up, what, 9-0 at first and had a pretty solid lead on us?
They were up at one point by 16. I would just personally like to thank the Giants for not using Saquon Barkley in the second half because he was gashing us in the first half, and not using him in the second was huge. That defense, so proud of them, man. Like, you just look at the secondary and how bad they looked. As bad in the first half as we thought they were going to. Chandon Sullivan couldn't cover. He couldn't tackle. Bosby couldn't tackle. And then suddenly LeBlanc makes that big play in the end zone against Odell Beckham. He might have got away with a hold, but nonetheless makes the play. Bosby stepped up. He actually had a couple nice tackles on Beckham. Some nice coverage here and there. The fact that those guys were able to make plays late in a must-win game for the Eagles to keep their season alive is just an awesome story. Because, I mean, most fans did not know who those players were heading into this week. It was the Eagles were that thin in the secondary, and hats off to Malcolm Jenkins back at safety. An interception today, a pass deflection, a forced fumble, six tackles on the day. He was a big part of those corners having that success in the second half, and he was one of the main reasons that defense was able to make three consecutive stops. That interception Jenkins comes up with to end the half, to hold the Giants who were in the red zone, and then they make back-to-back stops in the third quarter, allows the Eagles offense to get going and gain that first lead of the game. I did not expect the defense to step up like that in the second half. I was thinking when they had already put up 19 points, I'm like, man, and the way the Eagles offense was looking, I'm like, they're going to have to just blow the roof off of this Giants defense. And they didn't have to do that because the Eagles defense stepped up.
Yeah, with a poor Giants team who comes out and decides to put up the most amount of yards since I think it was 1991, I think, in a single half. Yep. You have to figure something out after that. You can't keep doing what you were doing. And Jim Schwartz, for once, made some adjustments. I mean, part of it is on the Giants for taking Saquon out of the equation altogether, but he did well for what he had. I mean, you were without Jordan Hicks as well. Malcolm Jenkins, I tweeted after the first play on that two-point conversion, I said, I am thankful for Malcolm Jenkins because he did exactly what the captain of your defense needed to do today, especially with a depleted secondary with guys like Chandon Sullivan who have been on the team a month to the day. He came up in every single moment that there needed to be a play, and he made that play. And even though the run defense wasn't that great, Tim Jernigan, I definitely could sense his presence in there. He was way better than T.Y. McGill and the other group of misfits that they've had in there altogether. So if you can pull out a scrappy game like this with a depleted core in the secondary, without Jordan Hicks, without an offense that got cooking until the second half, if you can start to hit your stride now and get these guys back, like hopefully Jalen Mills comes back next week. Hopefully Sidney Jones comes back next week. Hopefully Jordan Hicks is healthy. Avante Maddox. This is when you got to hit your stride. At some point you have to do it. It doesn't matter if it's sooner rather than later, but now we're in the later and it has to happen now. So we got one game win streak. Let's go and do something we haven't done all season and win two in a row next week.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was going to be possible for them to pull this out the way those corners were playing.
I thought they were going to lose.
Right. The fact that in the first half, I thought, here we go again. The offense was slow off the trigger. The play calling was mind-boggling. Once again, there was an unaggressive mentality from Doug Peterson that I thought he changed in the second half, but in the first half, he wasn't there again. And I'm like, where is 2017 Doug Peterson? We were getting that same stuff that we've been talking about all season long in the first half, but they changed that up at the most crucial point of the season. The fact, like you just said, that they were able to get this W with the corners, the health that they didn't have on this roster today, the fact that they got that win now, and now pull the deficit in the NFC East within one game of the Cowboys and the Colt McCoy-led Washington Redskins, absolutely huge. And let's just, real quick, put to bed this Carson Wentz the clutch narrative that me and you have been fighting for years. Now, me and you don't have to deal with this for the rest of the season.
Oh, we're still gonna.
Well, we're going to, because people like clicks, and the clickbait Wentz topics all week long have been driving me crazy. Thank God he steps up huge in the fourth quarter. Wentz finishes the day 20 of 28, over 70% completion percentage, 236 passing yards, averaged 8.4 yards through the air, one touchdown, a rating of 108.6. And part of that performance was a fourth and one conversion with the game pretty much on the line for the Eagles at around midfield. They had to convert that. And a little ghost of Chip Kelly's past with the Eagles, a little tribute to 2013 with that mesh concept on fourth and one, gets Nelson Aguilar open, wide open across the middle. And we talked about how conservative Doug Peterson was in the first half. That was a ballsy call on fourth down, fourth and short, to go into shotgun and to pass that football. But Wentz and Aguilar come up huge. I'm just so glad that Wentz stepped up in the fourth quarter. So when we get that narrative brought back, I'll be going to be like, look, he did it again. Because he's done it before in his career. And this was, with the season on the line, he steps up in the clutch late in the game. I don't know how much more clutch you can get.
Yeah, let's not forget that Tennessee game, he left the field with the lead, blew that.
Right.
Yep, he is clutch. I'm over it. He did exactly what he needed to do. He got the ball in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, and got them into field goal range. No, he didn't put the ball in the end zone, but what did you need to do there? You had just over 4 minutes. You had to kill the clock, did that. You had to get it into field goal range. They did that with a pretty serviceable amount for Jake Elliott to clear, and they got the game-winning drive on the board, 25-22 after that drive, all in part because Carson Wentz got in there, stepped up on fourth down, made that throw to Nelson Aguilar, exactly what he needed to do. And you know what's a big positive out of that, outside that he did have that game-winning drive, is that Doug finally took the ball out of his hands.
Finally.
Not completely took the ball out of his hands, but did exactly what they needed to do. I put out that stat the other day that if Carson throws more than 40 times in a game, they're 2-10, and 19-6 if it was less than 40 times. Well, you guess what? He's 20-6 now when they throw less than 40 times, because he had a good run game in Josh Adams, who looked like the most electric back this team has seen all season. Is he a feature running back? Not in my opinion yet. You still have to figure out how you're going to get him involved in this pass game somehow. But you know what's great is that Corey Clement looked like 2017 Corey Clement, and they threw him in there as a change of pace back, threw him in there on those third downs. And that group, you could toss them out there the rest of the season, because Josh Adams, if he had that long first touchdown, which should have been anyway, because Jason Kelce should not have been holding. That was a very loose call. But
there were some bad calls early in that game.
Yeah, the OPI on Alshon Jeffrey. But yeah, I mean, Josh Adams is the guy that they need to give the ball 20 times a game and get the ball out of Carson's hands, because you saw in that second half when he gets into a rhythm, he is one of the best quarterbacks in football. I will put it up against anybody. But when he's out of that rhythm, it's so painful to watch. And I mean, you can't put it all on his shoulders today. The pass protection, I did not think was great. They still are having issues in blitz pickup, especially on edge rushing blitzes. That's just an absolute mess. I know Dallas Goedert missed that one, that free safety blitz. That was brutal.
Yeah, Wentz sacked three times again today.
Yeah, it's just a bad pace. It's less than what has been going on with him, but still, they need to clean up that department. But the good thing is they figured it out in the second half. You want to take that second half, which was as close to 2017 Philadelphia as you've had all year, and replicate that the rest of the way. If you can start to get out on the right foot and not average, what is it, 21 points they've scored all in the first quarter all season, which is like 2 points a game almost. Like, if you could get start cooking early in the first quarter, you could start to see these 35 to 40 point games. I mean, they had 25 points today, and I don't even think they looked to their fullest potential the first half.
Josh Adams finished the game 22 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown. The go-ahead touchdown to take the lead for the Eagles to make it 22-19. You mentioned Corey Clement, and I tweeted it out. That was confident Clement running that football. That was 2017, and that was huge for him. He needed to have that game, and the Eagles really need that too, because if they're going to get their run game going with Josh Adams, they're going to need a compliment to him as well, because like you said, he's not really big in the passing game. Clement was a big part of that as well today. He had 2 catches for 31 yards, 5 carries for 45 yards. So he had a total of 76 yards on only 7 touches. That's efficient. They got him involved with Josh Adams. Yeah, you're right. They allowed for Wentz to, you know, he carried this team, this offense, late in that game. But the run game helped it out. He, like you said, he didn't have to do it all on his own. And the offensive line, hats off to them. Pass protection-wise, it was pretty poor, but they rallied after that bad drive where Wentz took that sack and they had to punt the football. That offensive line got motivated. They started mauling the Giants up front in the run game. The Eagles pounded it down their throats to take the lead. It was a hell of a performance from the run game, and we haven't really seen that all year long. You know, last year we were used to seeing LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi close out games for the Eagles, right, and have those clutch late-game drives in the run game. Even a couple years ago, 2016, right? We saw it sometimes with Ryan Matthews. I go back to the Atlanta Falcons game where they did it, where it wasn't really so the running back, more so it was the offensive line taking over, and they did as well in the run game late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brandon Lee Gowton of Bleeding Green Nation just tweeted this out. Over the last 5 games, Josh Adams is leading all backs with a 5.3 yards per carry at 49 carries for 262 and 2 touchdowns, compared to Corey Clement, who's at 3.4 yards per carry, and Wendell Smallwoods, who's 2.7. And Corey got that number up today, which is good, and you want to see him step into that role that he played so well last year. I think a lot of what was happening with Corey earlier in the year, and earlier in this game too even, he didn't get going until about the second half. They weren't putting him in the right situations. You need him to get outside of the pocket. You need him to have pulling zone runs where he can find a gap in just one cut. They finally figured out what to do with their backs today. And I just hope, because I haven't seen it consistently, that Deuce keeps that same rotation and Doug does not allow for Wendell Smallwood to ever touch the field ever again for the rest of the year.
I feel like they've smartened up with that for the past few weeks.
Yes.
It was because Smallwood, you know, has kind of been like the guy throughout the majority of the season when Ajayi got hurt, and slowly, week by week, Adams keeps getting like 6-8 touches, and he's averaging like 6 to 7 yards a pop. And they slowly, it took them a while, it took them maybe longer than some other teams would have, but they finally realized, whoa, this dude is efficient when he touches the football. And really, since go back to week 3 against the Colts, Josh Adams was efficient when he was getting carries. So he's been doing this all season. Even back in the summer, in the preseason, Josh Adams was their most efficient running back. So it's not a surprise to me that he's continuing to do this. And it's a cool story. He's from the Philadelphia area. The fact that they snap the losing streak at Lincoln Financial Field as well, get a win at home, is huge. Mm-hmm. This was the first time in a while, maybe all season, outside of probably the last Giants game, where both sides finally were clicking together on offense and defense and into the fourth quarter. Because early on, right in the season, it would be the Titans game. The offense gets going, they leave the field with a lead, the defense blows it in overtime. Then, you know, against Carolina, a similar situation happens. Then the offense can't step up, you know, against Minnesota. And it seems like week after week, it's like, well, when the offense is stepping up, the defense isn't. And then when the defense is stepping up, the offense isn't with them. Finally today, we saw that collective effort that got the W.
Yeah, and I tweeted that out after the game, that this was a good team win all around. I mean, at first, both sides of the offense and defense were playing pretty poorly, and then the second half, they said, all right, we both have to step up now, and they both played well.
And that's what it was going to take with the injuries they have. They had to have everyone on their A game.
Yeah, even the little guys like Cravon LeBlanc, and I thought Bowsby had a pretty solid game for who he was covering. Like, I expected Odell to have over 200 yards with the guys that were out there, you know? So, all in all, they did a pretty serviceable job.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Trey Sullivan, kind of made a couple nice plays.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was in on it. And the defensive line. So the defensive line was pretty bad in the first half again. In the run game, Saquon was having success. They were not getting to Eli. I thought they had a great second half as well. I think you did feel Jernigan's presence. Michael Bennett had a huge second half, coming up with a big sack, which Chris Long got credit for, I think, as well. But Michael Bennett, man, he has been one of the rocks on defense. You know, we talk about Malcolm Jenkins and Fletcher Cox. Michael Bennett has been one of those top three best defensive players all year round for the Eagles, and he was wrecking havoc getting after Eli the entire second half, and that was allowing for, you know, the secondary to hold on because Eli didn't have time to wait for his receiver to get open, which they were getting open every single time Eli had more than 3 seconds to throw the football in that first half. Finally, the defensive line got some pressure, and they were going to have to do that again because, I mean, we saw what Chandon Sullivan was doing, right? And Bosby, who did step up late in the game. But, you know, and then Cravion LeBlanc. I mean, these are all guys that have barely ever sniffed the football field in an NFL regular season game. So hats off to the defensive line as well. They finished with 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. I thought they were big.
Yeah, all around, you have to have a hats off to every single player on this team. I don't think anybody really played super poorly. I mean, there's some times that the wide receivers should have had some catches. I mean, Golden Tate, that one clear across the middle, he was probably going to gain 15, 16 yards on a run after the catch.
I don't think he had a good game.
No, I don't think they've figured out how to use him yet, and hopefully they can figure it out sooner than later. I still don't trust Mike Groh to put together any sort of game plan with this offense correctly. I mean, you see Dallas Goedert get involved earlier in the game, and then they take him out of the game. Like, I didn't understand that at all. There's still many things this team has to fix, but today was definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, truthfully, I was big on the Golden Tate trade to start because I liked the message it sent to the team. I liked that they were going all in on having more and more weapons for Carson Wentz, but I love when they use 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert on the field. Mm-hmm. And the more Golden Tate gets involved, the less they go to that. And Dallas Goedert had a good game today. He only had 3 catches, but for 33 yards, he was averaging 11 yards a catch. He had a long of 16. He was good in the blocking game once again for the most part. And he needs to see the field more. And I feel like Golden Tate a lot of time prevents him from seeing the field. And look, I know Tate's a really good player, but today he should have fumbled that punt return. It probably should have been Giants ball. He dropped that one pass coming across the middle. Golden Tate did not have a good game, but he was one of a few Eagles that didn't have a good game as they get the 25-22 victory to improve to 5-6, one game back of the NFC East lead. Let's take a break here on the Locked On Eagles post-game show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the stats recapping this Eagles victory. 25-22, that's right, an Eagles victory. First time in 3 weeks.
Sounds good.
This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri recapping the wild 25-22 victory against the New York Giants. This has kind of been the way they've been winning football games all season long, Gino. When they lose, it makes you go nuts. But then when they win the games, I mean, three of the four – or no, really, all of them, including just the Giants game and Thursday Night Football was an easy one. The rest of them have been down to the wire.
Yeah, I think every single game this season has been a one-score game, besides the Saints game,
it's crazy,
of course. But yeah, it's bananas. Just think about that. They're now 5-6, and 10 of the games have been decided by a single score. So
they're still two plays away from being
year.
7-4.
Yeah, exactly. Last year, they came out on top on those battles in the one-score games. The year before, they struggled to win those one-score games. And this year, they're just about splitting them. After the season, I plan on going back and revising that article I wrote regarding that they figured out how to finish games, because clearly they haven't quite gotten over that hump yet like we thought. But today, it's how the game goes, especially in these divisional matchups. Did you expect them to even beat the Giants? Because I personally did not, and for them to win by multiple scores, which Vegas thought, because it was a 6.5-7 point line at one time, I never thought that was going to happen.
So before the game, I thought they were going to be the favorites, but early on in that first quarter, I'm like, yeah, they're not winning this game. It didn't seem possible the way the defense was playing and the offense was not scoring points. It was like, this is the season right here. It's over. So that was a bad feeling, because that's the first time I felt like for the Eagles, the season's over in a long time. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, when the Giants were up 16, I thought that was it, because we've seen it time and time again. The Eagles just get behind and come out throwing, and they can't put together any drives, and they can't sustain any time and kill time off to the clock and just let teams come back and put points on the board. But today was different. That second half really felt like 2017. Like, they were able to sustain drives for more than a three and out, more than one first down, and then another three and out. You know, they were getting things together. Zach Ertz had another excellent game. He did exactly what he needed to do. I knew that Landon Collins would be a favorable matchup against Ertz. It always is. And Collins seems to just be regressing in his pass protection as he continues on in his career. But you took advantage against those the Giants corners too. I mean, Janoris Jenkins, for the contract that he signed, we did pretty well against them. You know, you think he'd be a shutdown corner. Alshon should have had many more yards this game against him. But all in all, they came out on the right side of the matchups for once. They came out on the right side of basically finishing the game for once. And they came out on the right side of not letting Carson take over this game and have balance for once. And it's a good feeling when these things are going the right way. And you know, it's almost common sense to just look at stats and say, okay, when we run X number of games and pass X number of games, let's just continue to do that. But it seems to be tricky in the NFL to follow trends and follow numbers. And hopefully they can continue with this and continue to give Josh Adams the ball and give Carson Wentz the perfect number of throws and continue to work Golden Tate into the offense somehow, because right now that third round pick is looking messy. But we can get into the wide receiver aspect down the road. Secondary, next week is going to be huge to get them all back together. Like, won't it be great when Jalen Mills is back, for as much as
I've never missed Jalen Mills so much? And the people have never looked as bad trash-talking Jalen Mills as they do now, because watching the cornerback play today and against the Saints last week, Jalen Mills should be a god right now.
Yeah, for what we have, I mean, Craven LeBlanc, he played serviceable. I think they all played serviceable, but for a long period of time, I do not care to see them be out
Eli
there.
It was against Eli, too. Like, let's be real. Like, Eli was, even when they were moving the ball down the field in the first half, a lot of the throws were behind his receivers. Eli is just a terrible quarterback. He is. He's shot. And the fact that he was tearing you up.
That interception was bad.
It was brutal. But that's just Eli Manning. But that's the point, is they were still moving the football. Like, you can't go the rest of the season. What you got to get, hopefully, and they're going to get Mills and Maddox and Jones back within the next few weeks. And I think Rasul as well. Douglas played today a couple plays. He was the one guy trying to chase down Saquon on that 51-yard rushing touchdown on a bad ankle. Poor guy. But they should get the secondary healthy again. But yeah, Jalen Mills looking pretty enticing right now to get back on the field.
Yeah, it'll be nice, and I want to see what they do moving forward. Who are they going to put on the outside opposite of him? Because if Sidney Jones comes back, do you put him out there? Do you move Avante down into the slot? It'll be interesting.
I feel like the way that they've seemed to, you know, talk about Rasul Douglas, the way they've handled him playing time-wise, it seems like when if everyone gets back healthy within maybe not all healthy on Monday night, I think you should get at least two of them back. I think Mills and Maddox are going to be ready for the Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Sidney Jones and Douglas coming back, I feel like what's going to happen in the secondary is Mills is going to go back to the outside. Maddox is going to be in the slot. And I think Sidney Jones is on the outside. Rasul could be on the outside with Sidney Jones inside. I don't think that's likely because I mean, it could be if they decide to keep Maddox at safety, that might be the route they want to take. Or maybe they decide to keep Corey Graham and Trey Sullivan back there, and you use Sidney Jones on the outside with Maddox inside. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting moving forward. I want to see the snap breakdown of where each of them played. That'll be interesting to see because you're just so depleted. It's like I you have to have your hat off to Jim Schwartz for recognizing the matchups. You held Odell Beckham for under 100 yards. Like, that in and itself is huge. Yes, it's against Eli, but that's massive. And the Giants shot themselves in the foot by not giving Saquon the ball more because he was absolutely shredding our run defense, which needs to improve. Hopefully it will continue to improve now that Tim Jernigan is back. You know how elite that combo of him and Fletcher Cox is when they're together, because you saw it last year.
Right.
So hopefully that gets going. I loved what I saw out of Michael Bennett. Continue to love what I see out of Michael Bennett. And him and Chris Long, they have to get those situational sacks, and they got them today. When you look at this season, how many times have we seen the quarterback sit there on like on third and nine or third and eight,
yep,
and just have all the time in the world or to even go if they and get complete to the ball?
Or even if they get to him a lot of the time, like Cam Newton, remember on that fourth down play, Brandon Graham has him in his chest, mm-hmm, and Newton bounces right off him and extends the play. Like, that's happened way too many times as well this year.
Yeah, absolutely, and the guys did that today, and that's exactly what you needed out of them. They've seen it too many times where the passer is just having way too much time to sit back, let the zone break down, which every zone breaks down because that's just how zone defenses are,
right,
and they're able to complete it. You saw it earlier in the game with that ball to Rhett Ellison. I think it was maybe the first or second drive of the game where they played on third and nine. They played a soft zone, and they just let the zone break down after 3 seconds. They put the ball in Ellison's hand, and he ran for the first down. And we've seen that plenty of times this year. But to counteract that, you need those sacks. And those came along today with those guys. Would it be nice to have Derek Barnett there still? Yes, but that group did their job today. BG had a good game, I thought. Barnett is the MVP of that defensive line, in my opinion, outside of Fletcher Cox. And Chris Long, the situational pass rusher, did well in his role, and it was a good win all around.
I thought Josh Sweat as well made a couple nice plays in the run game. Pass rush-wise, still with his hand usage, he's still very raw. But, man, you just see him on the field, and you're like, that dude looks like an animal. Like, he looks like Jadeveon Clowney out there, that he just seems physique-wise that he could just wreck a ball game. So hopefully he continues to develop, because you look at who knows what the future of this defensive line is right now, but if Michael Bennett keeps playing the way he did today and throughout the season, he's going to be the one they keep over Brandon Graham and maybe Tim Jernigan if they're deciding between those three. Maybe one they keep or maybe two. Let's take a look at the stats for this game in the 25-22 victory over the New York Giants. The Eagles have 19 first downs to the Giants, 18 total yards. The Eagles 341 on 60 plays. The Giants 402 on 57 plays. Passing-wise, Eli Manning throws for 276 yards on 26 completions, 37 attempts. For Carson Wentz, 214 passing yards, 20 of 28. He has the touchdown to Zach Ertz. And, Gino, a big plus in this football game. Plus one turnover difference for the Eagles.
Huge.
They were -9 heading into the game. They did not turn over the football on offense. Malcolm Jenkins comes up with a huge interception at a crucial point late in that first half to end the half and keep the Giants off the scoreboard, which would have just piled on to the lead. It would have maybe made the difference in the game. The Eagles' first pick in 6 weeks. That was huge.
Yeah, for once, I thought we were never going to see an interception again, you know. And once again, Malcolm Jenkins, you got to be thankful for him. That's how you win games. I mean, Washington, why have they been at the top of this division for as poor of a roster as they have? It's because of that turnover differential. I think they're plus 11 at the current point in time. And
they're this year's version of the 2017 Bills. They just didn't turn the football over, and they had a bunch of no-names playing great defense.
Yeah, a very bad defense. I mean, very bad offense with a serviceable possession quarterback and some decent receivers with a very solid defense that makes turnovers. And the Eagles, to be at the point they are at -8 right now, still isn't great, but this is a step in the right direction. And I think that's what you have to take away from this game, is the lesson of it's a step in the right direction. Yes, there are many things to fix. You're going to have to figure out your secondary one way or another once everybody comes back. The run defense has to figure it out, because Saquon, if they kept giving him the ball, he might have ran for 300 yards.
Yeah, this was the third straight week where an elite running back has gashed the Eagles.
Yeah, a great offensive coordinator, which the Giants do not have, would know that and just keep feeding them the ball. I mean, look at what Sean Payton did to us last week. Just kept forcing the ball down our throat.
What do you mean? Figured you didn't think it was a good idea to feature Wayne Gallman?
He did have some big runs against us,
which drove me nuts.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's those things that will drive you crazy when those subpar players like Rhett Ellison and who were the guys last week? They just drove him off the street last week and were catching touchdowns against us. This is a step in the right direction game. They're not going to be fully back until they come out and dominate a team, which they still have yet to do this season. But Monday night,
I'm hoping it's next week against Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy.
This has got to be the one where they do it. It's got to be the one to tie up the lead in the NFC East. These are the games you got to make your money right now in these NFC East division games. And Washington and Dallas, I'm sorry, they're not better than this Eagles team. They're not. And the Cowboys, they play the Saints next week. This was a huge win for the Eagles. And I know a lot of people on the podcast yesterday, we were talking about if the playoffs really matter, because a lot of people were talking about draft position, because some people were just, you know, they've given up on this season. Playoffs didn't even really matter to them anymore. I just want to get in at this point. First off, I think the experience for Wentz would be huge to play in a postseason game. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen it before, man. You just get hot. I'm still seeing a lot of those guys running on that football field today that won a Super Bowl just a year ago. And I know it seems very difficult to imagine this team beating the Rams or the Saints in a playoff game right now, but just get me in. And I feel like it's an easy path right now if the Eagles just take care of business. If they beat Washington next week, if they beat Washington again, they have another matchup with Dallas. You got to maybe split between the Rams and the Texans games, and you're in the playoffs, man. And this was the first step right here. 25-22 against the Giants. You're now 2-1 in the NFC East. Some more stats here real quick before we take one more break and wrap up the show. Zach Ertz in the receiving game, 7 receptions. Once again, man, he just so consistently dominant. 91 yards and another touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey, 3 catches for 39 yards. Alshon continues his rack ability.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked like he was like taking like a million LeSean Euro McCoy in 2009.
Oh my God, yeah. That's perfect. Or Michael Vick, where like the ball's just hanging there with one hand. You're like, dude, someone's gonna swat that out. Please get that ball tucked in your chest. But Alshon, Jeffrey has not had a game of 50 plus yards since the Carolina game. He has struggled. I don't know if it's more so on the scheme. I feel like the entire offense has really struggled outside of Zach Ertz. I don't know if Wentz and his chemistry has been out of sync lately, but he comes up huge converting one of those first downs on that final offensive drive in the fourth quarter. And you know, you saw it again, that was a 8-yard reception that he turned into what, a 15 to 16 yard catch, because Jeffrey this year has become a lot more dynamic as a runner when he gets the ball in his hands. It's crazy, and for his big size, it's hard to get him down.
Yeah, he took Golden Tate's role now that he's here, you know.
That's true. Speaking of Golden Tate, 4 catches for 30 yards.
Not
third round pick worthy, if you ask me.
No, I would say no. And with Golden Tate, I remember reading before the game, I think it was from Tim McManus, who just tweeted out this tweet that I'll mention in a second, that throughout the week they tried to simplify the offense for Golden Tate, and that simplified it for everybody else, which looked like it made everybody a little bit better come that second half. And Tim McManus also said that after that 51-yard touchdown run from Saquon, that Malcolm Jenkins and a couple of the veterans on the defense went up to Jim Schwartz to tell him to simplify the defense. And that seemed to slow them down and make everything come easier to them. And I think that's what they have to do, is to simplify this offense, because you don't have the offense and defense, mind you. You don't have the offensive minds in Frank Reich and John DeFilippo as you did last year. Your defense isn't swarming to the football as well as they were last year. Go back to the basics. Go back to getting Carson Wentz into these easy drives where sometimes you implement hurry up. You saw it in the second half where you get the run game going. You go back to basics. Get these mesh sits with your tight ends. Just get guys open. On the defense, the same thing. Just play solid, sound defense. And you could see what happens when you just stick to the fundamentals. Don't try and get too crazy, because this team can't handle the load that they were given last year. Make work with what you have with this team currently. You know, you can't get in over your head. You can't ask too much of the offense, which I think they have been. You can't ask too much of the defense, which I think they have been. And simplification was huge in this game. And Tim McManus, to bring up that point, I thought was excellent. I think you saw it in that second half how much easier it was coming to them. The Giants didn't throw for or compile over 300 yards in that second half, which is pretty crazy to think about, that crappy offense really did that to this defense. So
I know, it's nuts.
Like I said, step in the right direction. On to bigger and better things, hopefully.
So on defense, a dark horse MVP candidate of this game, Kamu Grugier-Hill. 7 tackles, 2 for a loss. He ends the game on that final play where the Giants are trying to keep doing the laterals to try to extend that play and maybe try to win the game. Kamu wraps up one of the receivers, pitches it behind him. Kamu with the kick to knock down. He had a he had, he pretty much brought down two guys with one move. I was going to say, is that not a flag? Are you allowed to do what he did?
No, I'm pretty sure it should have been a tripping penalty.
Well, then we got away with one. But, you know, I think that was due because some of those calls on the Eagles in that first half, brutal. The Alshon Jeffrey offensive pass interference call was terrible.
That was the worst call I've ever seen in my life. Like, no exaggeration.
He barely touched him on the shoulder. It didn't affect the play in any matter.
And then there was a clear push off the following drive by the Giants that they didn't call. That officiating was not great. I think there was a couple missed calls on Carson Wentz. That one when his knee got contorted, that should have been... If that's on any other quarterback, like Tom Brady, like that's called any day of the week.
Right. Some sack numbers here for the defensive line. Chris Long gets a sack. Michael Bennett as well. Both get tackles for losses. And then QB hits. Fletcher Cox leads the way with 3. And then Chris Long and Michael Bennett obviously have the 1 each. So great performance overall from both sides. They ran out through the tunnel today as a team. No individual announcements. And they finished this game as a team with a big W. We're going to take one more break here and wrap up the show with some final thoughts. This is the Locked On Eagles post-game show recapping the Eagles' 25-22 victory over the New York Giants. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show as we wrap it up on this post-game edition of Locked On Eagles, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. Got to be feeling pretty good right now. Carson Wentz, clutch gene kicking in, Gino. We're only a game back of Washington. A huge Monday Night Football game next week against Colt McCoy. Got to take advantage.
Yeah, I'll be listening to that game on mute because of Jason Witten, but yeah, I'm excited for it.
Right. We got to deal with Booger and Jason Witten.
I just think it's really unfair that 3 out of the 4 major networks have ex-Cowboys calling games. I just think it's super unfair for Eagles
fans. I think
the
only reason that they hired Witten was because Romo had so much success last year that they thought he would do the same thing, and he's been atrocious. Also, with Booger and this crane that he sits on, you cannot you got to imagine that the Eagles fans are not going to receive that very well. If he's in the way, oh man!
Especially with a heated rivalry game like the Redskins, somebody's going to get ejected for throwing something.
This is the biggest game of the season. Someone is throwing something. He's got that glass thing behind him, but someone's getting over that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, this is a big time matchup. I mean, you can't look ahead to Dallas. You have to go into the Link next Monday and win this game. This is the season. You can't think about anything that happened prior to Monday. You can't think about anything that's going to happen after Monday. Your season is on the line Monday night. The Saints, I hope they come out and kick the absolute crap out of the Cowboys, which I think they're going to because that team is the best team in the NFL, in my opinion. But once that happens, this veteran leadership group has to step up like they did today. And like Jalen Mills said in his pregame speech, put your nuts on the line and get in there and ball out. Guys, you're seeing Tim Jernigan, he's saying we're not done yet. Like, these guys aren't done yet. Like Doug Peterson said, they aren't done yet. And I'm not going to believe this team is done until the graphic comes off of Fox that says in the hunt. As long as they're in that graphic, I'm still with this team 100%.
I'm with you. Next week might be the biggest game of the season, thanks in large part to today's game saving the season. Eagles take it 25-22 over the New York Giants. This has been the Locked On Eagles post-game show, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Myself and Gino Camilleri, we will be back tomorrow to take another deep look into this game, and then we'll move on to Washington Week. Monday Night Football next Monday for the NFC East lead, barring a crazy upset by the Cowboys against New Orleans, which I doubt. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, my name is Louis DiBiase, signing off. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.